The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab. Ellen Rosand is a professor of music at Yale. She's a noted scholar of Italian music and poetry, music of the Baroque period, Italian opera, music of Venice, Handel, and opera criticism. She's a leading force behind the Yale Baroque Opera Project. Their 2013 production is Francesco Cavalli's opera La Callisto, and she joins me to discuss the project. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Suzanne. I'm happy to be here. The project started out 6 years ago, and the idea was to perform Baroque operas every year. At first, we did two a year, and the last 3 years, we've done only one. And last year, we did a Monteverdi opera. We did The Return of Ulysses. And this year, it's Cavalli's turn, Cavalli having been one of Monteverdi's most prominent students, and I would say responsible for the beginning of public opera, and in fact, opera as we know it today. So our opera is Callisto, La Callisto, which is Ovidian, and it involves the transformation of Callisto into a star at the very end of the opera, but a lot of stuff happens before then. So undergraduates are the performers, that is Yale undergraduates who not necessarily music majors. Some of them are math majors, some of them are economics majors, and we have one graduate student, but all the rest are undergraduates, some of whom are freshmen, which is pretty amazing, I think.
So tell me about math majors. Tell me about that. Yeah. Who are these students?
Well, they try out. We have auditions in the fall for the production, which is now in the spring. So they have a whole year to work on it. They have heard about it. It's quite well publicized around the university, and they come and try out. And we have often had non-music majors, and it's quite remarkable. The Yale students are multiply talented, and you find this out when you come to one of our productions.
So these are not just students who are, you know, holding a torch or something off in the corner. They're actually singing and participating.
Yes.
In this.
Yes, they're singing. It's quite, then they go off to graduate school or to medical school in some other subject. But they've had a kind of a mini career while they've been here.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of unusual because they really can sing. I mean, they don't get the parts if they can't sing. Mm-hmm. And, just some of them have been with us for three seasons. We have somebody who's now been with us for three seasons. He's a music major, though. But many of them are not.
So on your website, you have described La Callisto as a spicy tale of the passion of the gods. So I want you to explain that a little bit.
Okay, so spicy in the sense that Jupiter, the king of the gods, sees Callisto and falls in love with her. And in order to seduce her, since she is a follower of Diana, and Diana's followers adhere to the rule of chastity, in order to seduce her, he disguises himself as none other than Diana. And then he manages to lure her off into a grove, and he manages to seduce her. And so that's kind of racy, especially because Callisto thinks it's Diana. And then when next she sees Diana, the real Diana, she thinks they should have some more fun like they already had. And so that's one of the really clever and spicy things about the opera.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a modern premiere of this work?
No, it's very ironic. This was the first Cavalli opera to really be successful in the modern day. It was first performed in 1970 at Glyndebourne, and Janet Baker played the role of Diana, and Diana in disguise, and Jupiter as Diana and Diana. It was also published at that time by Raymond Lepard, who conducted, and it took off. This was the opera that was performed most. But the ironic thing is that it was the least successful of Cavalli's operas during his lifetime. So it amuses me always to think of the difference there, the contrast. Mm-hmm. And it sort of proves to me anyway that success or failure in in Cavalli's time probably had less to do with the quality of a work than certain other kinds of things like economic things. In fact, the leading singer in the original production died during rehearsals, so it had to be rewritten. The opera had to be rewritten for a substitute, and that disappointed audiences, and they didn't come. So that's one of the reasons why it was a failure, not for the intrinsic quality of the work, which is, I would say, one of Cavalli's absolute best works.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of special considerations or maybe even obstacles do you have to putting on a production like this, whether it's the staging or the historical research or anything like that?
There's been a lot of work done on this particular score, and in fact, there is a Cavalli edition that is coming out, a scholarly edition coming out of Bärenreiter in Germany. So we have the materials, we have the musical materials. We don't really know that much about original staging, but we have some very talented people involved here. We have the sort of best people from the Yale Drama School, and so we're able to. They have great imaginations, and they don't do. I don't think they do outrageous things, but they follow the drama pretty well, and so that is not an obstacle. If you want to know the real obstacle, it is getting the students together to rehearse, because they are so busy with all their other activities that it's very hard to get them all in the same place at the same time. And that's really the only, the most frustrating thing about it. But they manage somehow.
So how many students are involved? How many bodies on the stage?
Well, probably 12.
Okay.
Something like that. In the original times, some of the roles were doubled. But in order for us to give parts to as many people as possible, we don't do doubling of roles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have... there are some small parts, and some of the people who don't have so much experience are doing those, and the more experienced ones are doing the bigger parts. Hmm. So, yeah.
So let's back up a little bit and talk about Francesco Cavalli, a little bit more about who he was and why he was so significant as a composer.
Well, he was born in 1602. And he, not in Venice, he was born in Crema, which is a town near Milan. And he was adopted by someone called Cavalli and brought to Venice, which had the most important and largest chapel music situation in all of Italy. And he came to sing in San Marco Chapel. And at that time, Monteverdi was the maestro di cappella. And so Cavalli studied under him, clearly, although we don't actually have, we don't have lesson plans or anything like that. But his music sounds somewhat like Monteverdi's. But something happened around 1640 while he was still employed at San Marco. A traveling company of musicians came to Venice and put on a show. And at that point, 1637 actually, at that point, opera seems to have taken off. And Cavalli got himself involved in it and started writing operas in 1639 and wrote at least one a year for the next 30 years. And it sort of flooded the market, and he just found a combination that worked. A way of writing with, very entertaining conventions and a very dramatic recitative style that just seemed to work for these dramas. And so that's sort of, the rest is history.
So looking at the librettist for this, Giovanni Faustini, what about him?
Well, he was a lawyer. And he was a young guy, and Cavalli must have found him. He lived in Cavalli's neighborhood. That's the only thing we really know about why they might have met. There was no such thing as librettist in those days. There wasn't, since there was no opera, really, there was no career as librettist. But he actually was the first career librettist, because Cavalli took him in hand, and they collaborated yearly for a decade until Faustini died prematurely, actually, again, during the rehearsals for Callisto. So it was, that was a very ill-starred opera. But so they collaborated for 10 years, so something like a dozen operas. And then there was a style of libretto that could be exported and could be be borrowed by a subsequent librettist. And that's more or less what happened. I can tell you about some of the conventions that the two of them developed, because they're quite interesting, and you still see them today. And one of them was the lament. So every opera would have one. It was usually quite near the end of the opera, just before everything resolved. And then there was the mad scene. We don't have a mad scene in this one, but many of the Venetian operas do. Then there were comic scenes, a kind of comic writing for comic characters, which we have quite a lot of. We have the underworld scene, which we don't exactly have that in this opera, but we have them in most of the Cavalli-Faustini collaborations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so these conventional scenes would be interspersed with arias, songs, accompanied recitative for very passionate moments. I don't know, that's more or less what we've got.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and it sounds like a pretty interesting little snapshot of history as well that one can experience.
That's right. And yeah. And also the classics, because mm-hmm. many of the operas are based on classical themes. So here, if you wanted to have a course on Ovid, this would be a perfect introduction because it really shows you how the 17th century played with their Ovid. Mm-hmm. And last year when we did The Return of Ulysses, we talked about the Odyssey and what Homer meant for the 17th century. So that's one of the reasons, by the way, I think that it's so appealing as a project for Yale students, mm-hmm. because it can be integrated with their education, with their humanities education. And I think that's one of the things they appreciate when mm-hmm. they undertake this endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this going to be recorded at all and maybe made available,
yes.
Online or in any other way besides attending in person if one can't attend in person?
Oh, yes. You can. We always have a video, and mm-hmm. it's available on the website for a very nominal cost. We have videos of all our previous productions available, and you can order them online. Mm-hmm. We also have audio recordings of everything, and they're quite good, I must say. I mean, they do give you an excellent idea of what the operas feel like in the theater. Mm-hmm. We try very hard to get, highly professional people involved. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons that the whole Yale Baroque Opera project is so special, because we stint not at all on things like that, or on costumes and design and So it really looks good.
Well, I want to wish you the very best of luck with this production.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing it myself. And thanks very much for making time to chat about it.
Oh, you're very welcome.